Blog Talk Radio. program. I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise. We're now on Saturday. We forget about all the evil in the world, and we talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, what happened last week with the NFL? Ugh. Ay, 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 ay. Week six, we got hammered. We thought we got hammered, but we were actually, you know, not too bad. But we thought we got hammered. Last week, we got really hammered. Tampa Bay screwed us. Buffalo screwed us. Detroit screwed us. The Raiders screwed us. Washington screwed us. The Rams screwed us. Miami screwed us. And San Francisco screwed us. Screwed us and screwed us good. Now, are we going to have the same in week eight? Well, I don't know. Nobody knows. I mean, there are a lot of, well, what I call Kardashian games, where you think the game is going to go a certain way, but there's a real big but. That's why I call it a Kardashian game. There's a lot of them this week. This is not an easy week, especially if you're going to try to compare it to last week of what happened. So we don't really know where these teams really are or what they're going to do. I have no idea. I have no clue. I don't know if anybody knows of what's going to happen. But who knows? We'll find out. Well, we do have Seth on board. I want to bring him on board. And we do have another caller. I'm not sure who it is, but we'll find out here very quickly. So let's bring Seth on board. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Happy Saturday.
Shabbat shalom. Hey, I was talking before you got on here. I was talking about last week. And week six, we thought we all got really screwed. Well, last week we all did, except for you, Seth. You were the king of the hill at seven. You only missed five games. And there were a lot of, you know, but I got four. Brother X got three. Viper got six. And you got seven. I mean, look, Miami screwed us. Frisco, the Rams, Washington, Raiders, Detroit, Buffalo. But my biggest question is, can San Francisco, can they go three games in a row, losing three games in a row? I know they're a little banged up, but they're not that banged up.
Can they go three? But the possibility is there. Skeet, real quick, I'd like you to take Pubs' call because, yes, we try to talk about different things on the sports show. We know the picks are going to happen at 6:30. But you know what? Let's talk a little World Series baseball. This is kind of crazy. You want to talk World Series baseball maybe?
Yeah, I lost all that love and feeling with baseball, but we are a sports show, and I can get into a little bit, so let's bring Pubs on. Pubs, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, gents. How you doing?
All right. Yeah, the Rangers, I mean, look, they got hot at the right time, and that is baseball. You get hot at the right time. You don't have to have the best record in the season. The regular season doesn't count. You've got two seasons, the regular season and the postseason. They're not even close. They're not even related. They're completely polarized. You get hot at the right time, you can't be beat. And I'm hoping that Arizona wins, but I just see all the momentum. And I think this series is going to go a good 6 or 7 at least, I think.
I think that would be great for baseball if it did. But, look, yes, they both got hot at the right time. And if you look at it two different ways, Arizona, they went through the draft. They drafted studs, and they progressed nicely. And boom, boom, boom. They've got young talent mixed with veterans. And then Texas, they went money route. It wasn't so much this offseason. It was last one when they got Simeon and Seager for like $400 million combined. So they've invested. But, yeah, they're great teams, and it's fun to watch. Super fun to watch.
Well, I love – there's nothing like Game 7 in baseball. If the series is a sweep, that's boring. And I know Yankee fans, they loved it because Yankee fans just love to win. They hate to lose. But Game 7 is always – the drama, just that you're in Game 7, the drama alone, you don't have to play the game. Just that you're in Game 7, that right there, that's,
No. Let's talk about the drama of Game 1 of the World Series. And you've got a 5-3 lead going into the 9th. It's tied up. And you lose by a dinger in the 11th of walk-off. What a great start to a World Series.
Yeah, I feel sorry for those pitchers who have to lose to a walk-off home run. That has got to be humiliating. Right?
You throw the pitch and you drop your head immediately. That's what it is,
exactly.
Dude. I've seen so much postseason baseball, but it's like they know. Like the crack, they see it, their head drops, and that's the ball game.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
and I watched that pitch over and over again, and I saw exactly that spot, and I was like, oh, bro. He's hitting. He's making contact no matter what, but, yeah, he's taking a yard.
Well, first of all, you don't throw Garcia anything that he can hit. That's number one. And especially in a situation where he knows or you know that he can hurt you. You don't throw him. You don't throw to this guy. He's going to hurt you at the wrong time. And, well, he did.
No, it's just amazing when people don't really know the Texas Rangers or the Arizona Diamondbacks in, like, lineups or something. Garcia for the Rangers and Cordell for the Arizona Diamondbacks. These are people you should know. You should realize who they are.
Well, I saw an interesting stat the other day, and it showed the Atlanta Braves were 104. The Orioles, I think, were 102, and the Dodgers were at 100. Well, the Braves at 104, they showed that the Rangers and the Diamondbacks were like 20 games back from Atlanta. And look where they are. Look where they are. They're in the World Series.
I think off the top of my head, you are taking a 5th seed against a 6th seed. This is improbable in what should have happened in this World Series. This
It reminds me of March Madness, right? That 12 seed just makes the run to the Final Four, dude. You can't help but root for that team. I'm sorry. It's like when the Rays were in it, dude, I rooted for them because I know their payroll's like 70, 80 million. It's ridiculous. They shouldn't be there.
Well,
but, yeah.
It goes to show you, again, the regular season is not the postseason. You can look, the Braves, how many years have we seen the Braves? And how many years have we seen the Dodgers? Both of these two teams should have buckets filled with rings in them. They don't. And, You know, and again, getting hot
and
at the right
that's
time.
Where I think baseball is still normally more pure than the other sports, and where we don't have to think that these games are rigged. And everybody, I guarantee you, on that's listening to the show, is going to say they love it that the Astros are out of it because those are mother effing cheaters.
Go Wolverines.
we have somebody, I think I know who it is, but I don't know who it is.
Is it Doc?
I think it might be. I don't know. But if the last four digits are 4495, you're now on the air. Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Happy Friday. Well, actually, it's Saturday, Cap. Holy, it's been a while.
I thought it was. Doc, you know, I got to ask, how the hell are you?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I felt dangerous for Redby Twins. So, I mean, all things considered, I'm still upright and breathing, and I can't complain. And if I did, nobody'd listen.
Yeah, well, I'm upright and breathing. I shouldn't be, but I am. And I'm okay with it. So,
and as that's what I would expect. Now, I will tell you, I don't have a lot of time. I am currently standing on my front porch, dressed like Santa Claus, for a Halloween party. So, I wanted to call in because it's been a while. So, yes, I'm on my front porch, dressed as Santa Claus, smoking a cigarette and drinking whiskey. So, I.
You remind me of Bad Santa. I watched a movie the other day.
That's really kind of how I feel right now.
Oh, God, Bad Santa. You can't ask for a better show than that. I love it. But, no, Doc, real quick before you got to go, what do you think, your boy Cousins? Is he they're going to get rid of him next year. What do you think he ends up?
Where do I think he ends up? All right, maybe a far stretch, but I could see him going to the Titans. Possibly. Worst case scenario, he would end up with the Browns. That's
what I
can kind of see.
That's not a bad pick, the Browns. I don't know about the Titans because they have Will Levis. We'll find out. He's going to play tomorrow. We'll find out what he does. No, but I like the Browns pick. I kind of like that, actually.
I mean, I think the Browns have a decent enough offensive playbook that he can just kind of plug and play into. So that's where I went with that one. But other than that, I mean, honestly, I am really disappointed. Like, I had to deflate the doubt. I'm not going to lie. I had to deflate him.
Yeah, but is it
really
him, though? Is it really all Cousins? I don't know if I could put all the onus on Cousins. I don't know.
It's not all on him, but, again, I mean, if you go to a concert and you watch, let's say, Aerosmith and, you know, Steven Tyler just, you know, bombs everything, you're going to blame the whole concert on Steven Tyler because he's the front man. He's the quarterback of the whole show.
So
you do have that but at the end of the day, you're right. It's not completely all his fault. I think if he had more, if he had a had better, sorry, the word is eluding me. Not so much like an offensive line and everything else. It is that. If he had that, Tim, and give him more time, I think he would progress and achieve what initially we thought he would, or I thought he would. Does that make sense?
Right. But, I mean, Minnesota, they did beat San Francisco.
They did.
Yeah, and they're 3-4. It's not over for them.
No.
There's 10 games left, you know, like.
Yeah, but football fans, you know, you lose one game and you think the whole season is over. You know, because it's a short season. You know.
No, well, look at the way Detroit Lions lost this week. It was horrible. But you know what? You're gonna survive. You're gonna learn from it. Yeah, you played a team that hit you in the mouth and you didn't expect it. It's okay.
Well,
you're going to beat the Raiders.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I hate that team with a passion. Not near as much as Philadelphia, but I still hate them. But Baltimore, you got to be careful with a team like that. Those guys can score some points and a lot of them. So I don't know if that was a really bad loss that Detroit lost.
No, I mean, honestly, I think the Detroit loss to Baltimore was a respectable loss. I mean, as a Detroit fan, no, we didn't want to see them lose. But if they lost to anybody right now, Baltimore would be, okay, yeah, no, we can chalk that up as, yes, we'll chalk that up. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they were a better team on game day.
Detroit fans, the only thing that's going to make Detroit fans' season complete, they just need to win one postseason game. That's it. One playoff game.
Exactly.
That's all they need to do. Just one.
And I'm not going to lie, that's all I'm hoping for. Honestly, if I go past two postseason games, I'm ecstatic, but one postseason game, just one.
Well,
I would be
happy. Ask yourself for a gift.
That's right. I can make this happen. I'll shimmy down everybody's chimney, and I'll get some breaking and entering charges, and I'll make this happen.
Well, hey,
I'll be like Jim Harbaugh, and I'll be looking at everybody else's plays and.
Well, hey, look, if there is any team in the last 40 years that can win a playoff game, I think it is this team. I really do. All you got to win is just one.
Yes.
Yeah, but if they get their division, that one game puts them in the NFC Championship game, right?
Right.
Like they would get the bye the first week, one win. Their NFC Championship, and then, man, Detroit's going to erupt at that point. It's going to be nuts. Well, I mean, who else deserves it more than those fans? Me being
one
of them. Just.
Well, and that was the other thing that I noticed was, so I watched, the highlights and this and that, and I'm watching some of the highlights from all the away games. And I'm seeing so much Honolulu blue in all those stands at the away games. I'm going, who would have thunk there were this many fans across the U.S. in all these different places for these games?
No,
because
they took over Lambeau.
You wouldn't see it. Yeah, it was insane.
Lambeau had to come out. The Packers came out with a public service announcement after that game and said, hey, we'd really like you to resell your tickets if you're going to do that to other Packers fans. Like, they were embarrassed by it, so they had to say something about it. That's never happened in my lifetime, watching the Lions.
Well, in the fact that the Lions fans were there, they showed up, which you don't see that, which was beautiful. I mean, it almost reminded me of, like, the Sad Sack Browns. You know, everybody show up with paper sacks over their heads, and they just take over the whole stadium.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that reminded me of. And I'm going, this is beautiful. Finally, the Lions are doing what every Lions fan has wanted them to do to this point. I'm going to leave it at that, to this point. They're giving that extra hope. It's not just the hope, but it's a little extra. I don't know. We'll see where they go. I mean, if they lose, they lose. We're used to that as fans. It is what it is. We just go, all right, cool, let's have another beer.
But it was the clean sweep of the whole regime that I applauded. They top to bottom changed everything, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
They committed to certain individuals. And I guess Dan Campbell, in his interview, he literally was flipping tables over, cussing, yelling, right? Like he wanted the job. Like, seriously, the dude's 6'7". He's the next tight end, like 260. So all the players love playing for him, and all their coaches, if you've noticed, are ex-players in the NFL. And they're not just, you know, scrubs, dude. Aaron Glenn was a great defensive back. If you remember in the 90s, he was great. But, yeah, it's been enjoyable. It's something different.
Well, you know, like Viper likes to talk about, and it is the culture in their team right now. They've got a completely different culture now. It's different. You can tell. You can sense it. You can see it. You can smell it. And, you know, Goff, hey, look, I think this was the best thing for him. They hated him in L.A., hated him. They gave him no respect when they drafted him. And now he's on a team, and, you know, everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid, and they're all on the same page. So.
Well, no, and like I said, Goff showing up was amazing. I mean, they basically built that whole line around Goff, which was one of the best things they could have done because they didn't do that in the past with anybody else. So I think the upper echelon decided that, no, this isn't working. We've been doing this for too long. Let's go ahead and switch up our game plan.
And yeah, you can't just go out and buy the best players in their positions, because they may not work with the other players, and your quarterback is your offense. You have to build your offense around your quarterback. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is. You build your offense around that particular guy, and then you win. But, well, we're only a couple minutes before we start the picks. Doc, is there any predictions that you have? Like if you were to pick the Super Bowl right now, if you were to pick who goes in the Super Bowl right now, who would you pick?
Well, if I were to pick the Super Bowl right now, oh, dear, well, you got to give me a hot second to let my wobblecock brain think about it. I would say Kansas City would be a front runner. And honestly, I don't know after that. I mean, Kansas City is one, like, Kansas City and San Francisco would be one of the two front runners for me. Mm-hmm. But other than that, as far as an alternative, I don't know.
Well, I don't know on any of it, because the way things have been playing, and we do got Viper on board. Hold on, Viper, we'll get you. But the way things are going now, I think it's actually, and even though we're in week 8, I think it's still open, except for, you know, Carolina, who hasn't won a game yet. But I think it's still open for just about anybody. If you want it, go out and get it.
Right, but you have to think about how hard everybody else has been playing and in the drive that they've had. So, and that's why I'm saying Kansas City or San Francisco, because they seem to have that drive, that want. You know what I mean?
I don't know how Kansas City does it. They can just score and just will. It's like, hey, we need a touchdown. Oh, okay. And they just get one.
It's kind of like, oh, who's buying the next round?
Yeah, oh, that's me. Oh, okay. That team is amazing. I hate them, but they are amazing.
And I am 100% on board with exactly what you said. I hate them, but they are amazing.
You can't ignore it. You can't deny it. Can't do it. But, all right, let's bring Viper on board. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Hey, it's good to be here. Sorry I'm late. What did I miss?
Well, you missed, we got Doc on board. We got Pubs on board. I mean, we got a full boat. Hell, we're ready. Let's get this ship out to sea here, man. That's what I'm saying.
Doc and Pubs. Wow.
Yeah, fish on. Let's go.
Fish on. But no, we were talking about the last couple of weeks being very, as Doc calls it, wobblecocked, and very unpredictable. And this week is no different, because this week, compared to the last couple of weeks, I mean, there are a lot of questions. Well, Doc had to leave, but it is 6:32. Recap last week. I was at 4, Brother X at 3, Viper at 6, and Seth, the top dog, at 7. So, I mean,
where is Seth?
He's here. No, Seth, you're still here with us, aren't you? Well, I got him on my screen that he's here. He probably went to get another drink. That's all right.
It is Saturday, fellas. It is Saturday.
It is Saturday. It is Saturday. And I think it's a holiday too, so.
What holiday is it?
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't keep up with holidays. I mean, I really can't. I'm terrible. I'm awful. I can't even come up with my own birthday. I'm terrible. I'm terrible with dates. I don't know nothing. Every day is the same. It's cloudy and raining every day. So
you must be in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where I grew up. But I was speaking more metaphorically than anything. But anyway, moving right along. I think there was some teams that got humbled a little bit. I don't know what happened. And I did. If I would have gone with my hunches, my crazy, bizarre, always coming up with hunches, I would have been the top dog. I saw New England beating Buffalo. For what reason, I don't know. However, I do got to say something about the Cleveland-Indianapolis game. I don't know if any of you saw this, but I watch Red Zone, so I catch it all. Indianapolis outplayed and beat Cleveland and beat them, but the referees did give that game to Cleveland, and that was I thought that was uncalled for. That was wrong, but I really liked the way Indianapolis played, and I think. You know, Cleveland, maybe they went to Indianapolis and they were hungover, but I think maybe their defense being number one, I think they're running out of gas. I don't know. We'll find out this week. They play Seattle. So,
Seattle's a legitimate team. They're solid.
Well, they've got the weapons. They've got offensive weapons, and they do have a very good defensive weapon. Guy is the defense. He is the defense. That's it.
Dude, what another great draft pick by them. They got Wooten last year, like the sixth or seventh round, right? And he leads the league in interceptions. And then they get Weathers. Dude, they're building something again. But it's such a passing league, right? It's such a passing league now. Like, it's people just come out shooting.
But Geno Smith does not have to, I don't think he has to be that accurate, because Metcalf and Lockett, both of them, ever since they've been in Seattle, and I followed them, of course, I'm, you know, from there, but those guys can catch the balls that are not supposed to be caught. And
how underrated is Lockett for his career? Lockett is so underrated. But then they got Njigba Smith from Ohio State, dude, and, like, dude, It's going to get nuts.
And Walker, when you give, you feed that guy the ball, he's going to get places. He's going to get yards. He's going to get first downs. You feed him the ball. Feed him the ball. He doesn't get any food. He gets the football. That's it. That's your dinner. That's all you can eat. But we'll find out.
It was a nice second-round draft pick, dude, for a running back. And if you think about a running back's journey, because they're struggling to get paid right now, I heard this theory, and I kind of agree with it. It's like if you're the number one tailback in college football, start tanking a little bit so you go in the second round so you can breach – you can get out of your contract after 4 years instead of the guaranteed five, or they have the option on the fifth, right? Get paid that 1 year earlier because, you know, I thought it was a shrewd business move.
Yeah, I just don't like that whole concept of tanking for this and that. I find that unsportsmanlike. But
it's all unsportsmanlike.
I know. Yeah. They're all doing it. But in any event, last week was bizarre. I don't think Miami losing to Philly was a bad loss. Philly, again, is the most hated team I have. But Philly is a good team, and Miami's a good team. It's not a bad loss. It's not embarrassing. But San Francisco losing to Minnesota, I think those injuries, for whatever reason, and Purdy was concussed. He's playing this week. They say he's playing, so we'll find out. But San Francisco cannot go three losing games in a row. They can't do it. They better not do it. But, well, in any event, we do have, let's start this game off. Seth, you got the numbers ready? Seth?
No, you can't hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Which game do you want to start off?
I just want to know if you got the, okay, so you're ready. Okay, let's start the first game. This is now this is Atlanta in Tennessee. Now Willis or Levis is going to get his first start. So I'm kind of leaning maybe it might be a little push, but Atlanta, Tennessee's a mess. I think they both got the same kind of record. But anyway, what are the numbers on this? Atlanta and Tennessee.
The Atlanta Falcons are giving away 2.5 points against the home defenders, Tennessee Titans, and the over-under is 35.5.
Yeah. Well, Brother X went Atlanta. Hammer down. Viper, I want to ask you, is Levis, we haven't seen him play, so we don't really know. There were a lot of critics. I think this is a game, the perfect game for him to show all the critics and show all the people what I can do. And if he doesn't, then I think his career is going to be, you know, he's got to have a good showing tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can he do it? I mean, have you read any reports? How does he look in practice?
Well, I mean, I think anything's possible. I mean, when you have an unknown quantity, you know, it is possible if they drew up the right playbook, and obviously he's been practicing with the team and getting first string snaps. I mean, he's known to have the arm. The question is going to be the accuracy and, you know, and is he going to get a running game so they don't pin the ears back and go after him? This is probably a good game to start, although the Atlanta secondary is pretty solid. So he's going to have to go through his reads and progressions and just make good decisions. And that was always his Achilles heel in Kentucky. Everyone knew he had an arm. But does he have the accuracy and does he have the decision-making at the NFL level. We're going to find out this weekend.
Well, it's going to be his team eventually. That's why they drafted him. And Tannehill is, you know, and he's going to be gone here next year probably. But this is a game he has to show. He has to show up. And he has to prove everybody. But Atlanta is not that bad of a football team, and it's pretty well matched. It's a pretty well matched game. But I want to pick Tennessee because I want to believe that bringing in the new guy, you know, might energize. But it could also go the other way, too. But at least they're playing at home in Tennessee. So, I mean, Viper, do you have a solid pick on this? Or?
I mean, I'm always going to lean towards what we know versus what we don't know. I mean, Levis could come out and have a great game. Or Derrick Henry could run the ball pretty well in an effort to keep the pressure off of him. I mean, Mike Vrabel's a solid coach. He's got a solid coaching staff. I really want to believe this is the right move for them, but I'm going to have to go with Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's proven to be a solid contender all year long so far. They've obviously improved on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a solid running back to give the ball to keep pressure off Ridder. I mean, I have to go with Atlanta just because Will Levis is an unknown. And he could go out there this weekend and prove us all wrong.
Well, Tennessee is 2-4, and Atlanta is 4-3. Yeah, I think smart money would be Atlanta, but I don't go by smart money. Seth, where are you on?
On this game, actually, I like Atlanta for a lot of different reasons. They're more established in where they're at as a team and what the personnel is today as compared to where Tennessee is. And, yes, could this quarterback have a phenomenal game and do all these things? The odds say no. So I'm going with Vegas on this one, and I'm going to Atlanta. Dirty Birds.
Oh, God. I got a couple of hunches this week, and I didn't listen to my hunches last week and the week before, and I got screwed. So if I go with my hunches this week, I think I'm going to get screwed again, but I'm going to go with them. I'm going to go completely against the grain. I'm going to go Tennessee. How about you, Pubs?
I was thinking the same thing, but the thing is the Lions, they played the Falcons earlier this year, and they're a solid team. It was a legit run. They're solid, and the AFC or the NFC South is so wide open that I think I don't know. I think it could be a trap game for them. So, I don't know. I'd look for Derrick Henry to break out because trade season is Tuesday at 4 p.m., right? That's the trade deadline.
Yep.
And they didn't extend him. You know what I'm saying? So, he's sitting there kind of lame duck. So, I think he's going to go off. They're going to showcase him. He's going to go off, right? They get the win.
Yeah, I kind of see a little bit of that. But we'll have to find out. I mean, Atlanta, though, is the better team, period. But that
I know,
mean
but
it's football. It's football.
It's the Desmond Ridder question, right? It's like, is he or isn't he? And, bless them for giving him the world. And, all right, we're going to give you a season, see what you can do. Like, maybe, like, he's already a winning quarterback, but I don't know. But yes, Tennessee, that's who I picked.
All right, good for you. I'm going Tennessee. Now, this next game, This is another one of my hunches, and I'm going to have to stick with it. This is Houston in Carolina, and I think Carolina is going to get their first win of the season. They're 0-6. And Seth, what are the numbers on this? I mean, this is a bit of a dumpster fire. Nobody cares about this game, but what are the numbers say?
The Houston Texans are actually favored by 3 points. They're giving those 3 points to the home team, Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers, the over-under between Houston is 43.5.
Yeah. I don't know how Carolina is going to win this. I mean, I have absolutely no scientific data to back any of this complete nonsense. And it is, it's nonsense. It's all hunch. And I don't know where it's coming from, but Viper, what are the analytics? Where are we scientifically here on this game?
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at the effectiveness right now of the two quarterbacks. And while Bryce Young is improving and he's got a pretty solid – they got a pretty solid running game. I mean, I think Fields is just doing a little bit more right now at the quarterback position. Houston's been a surprise. I mean, I've gone against them a couple weeks, and, you know, I got burned for it. But, you know, they're doing something right down there. I think the coaching staff – I think they have the right coaching staff in place. And you know, I just think that there's a lot going right down there. I think there's a lot not going right in Carolina. I feel bad for them because, you know, obviously the guys are trying. And Frank Reich is not a terrible coach. He's just not getting the results right now. But, no, you can't argue with the positive trend and the direction that the Houston Texans are going in. And, you know, I think they've earned the right to be favored in this game, and
mm-hmm.
Carolina still has a lot to prove. They got a lot to prove still, and I'm not sure they're going to get off the schneid this week. I think Stroud.
I don't mean to interrupt, but if Carolina is going to win any game, they've got this game against Houston. And then in 2 weeks, I think it's like 2 weeks, they play Chicago. And that's it. That's their only opportunity is to win a game. If you're going to go, I mean,
And they're coming off a bye week, too, so they've been prepping all week for it.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. Carolina, it's do or die. You got this week or in a couple of weeks, you might have a shot against Chicago. But other than that, that's it.
Right. And I know we're all looking at a winless Carolina team and we're trying to make them credible, and that's fine. Frank Reich, this and that. And Frank Reich has never lost after a bye week as a head coach. He's 4-0. We know these stats. But you know what? These Houston Texans, better than what you think. This team is still possibly an AFC playoff team still this year. And you know what? If they're going to be, they have to win this game. This is a must-win game for them to even compete. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, right now Carolina is just going out there just out of pride. Just win one. They're not doing anything. They're not coming anywhere near no playoffs. Playoffs? No. They're not coming anywhere near no playoffs. So, again, it's either this week or in a couple of weeks, and that's their only shot. So I take it both Seth and Viper, you're both going Houston, right?
Yeah, I am.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. How about you, Bubs?
I like the C.J. Stroud story. I like Houston. I like they've been drafting well. They stockpiled picks. They got Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud in the same draft. Like, I just it's a momentum thing. That's I'm taking the Texans.
Yeah, that is a smart money, but I need to catch up. So I'm looking for all the upsets.
You need to lay the long odds. Yeah, you're big long shot. I like it.
Oh,
I like
it. I'm going long. I'm going light years long. That's what I'm doing.
Nice.
Oh, man. But it could really screw me over. And it probably
will. Well, a team with no wins yet to this point, but that's okay.
Right.
Well,
just
the
grenade on your schedule.
That's the thing. They got no wins. They're due to win one.
Right. Eventually. Right. Not now.
Well, Houston is a scrappy
that,
team.
That approach worked for the Giants last week.
Yep.
Oh, a Giants dig. A Giants dig already.
G-Man.
Wow. G-Man.
Well, actually, Seth picked the G-Man, and he won. He was the only one.
The last laugh.
Thank you, everyone.
Well, now this next game, I kind of like this game. Whoever wins, I don't know yet, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than you think. This is Jacksonville in Pittsburgh. Now, we have seen Pittsburgh actually improve. They're 4-2. They had a couple of games. They looked awful, but... You know, you've got the Pickle Boys, you know, Pickett to Pickens. But, you know, Jacksonville is still, you know, that team. This is going to be a fun football game. I think it's going to be a lot closer than you think. What are the numbers on this, Seth? Jacksonville and Pittsburgh.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are 2.5 favorites. Against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, and the over-under is 41.
Yeah, that's pretty close. I think it is going to be. I think Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh loses, they're not going to lose. It's not going to be humiliating. They're going to lose by like the 2 points.
No, this
point.
Is a potential pre-season playoff game in the AFC. This is really a game. In fact, the loser of this game might not make it to the playoffs because the winner of this game did. Jacksonville can get away with this better, but if Steelers lose this where they're at in the North, they probably won't make the playoffs. They can still be 500, maybe even a little bit better. But they won't make the playoffs. They need to beat Jacksonville this week.
Right, because you still have Cleveland, which I think Cleveland is going to be slipping. But you got Cincinnati that could be creeping back up again.
And look at Baltimore. Yeah, this whole division. But if the Steelers, after this week, became 5-2, that's ridiculous, right?
Well,
that's well ahead of whoever projected.
They're knocking on the door in Baltimore saying, hey, hello, here I am. And Baltimore's going to have to pick it up. I mean, no, that's a big win if it wins this. And if Houston wins and Jacksonville loses, then that's going to be a big, big loss for Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it will.
That mean, and then you've got Indianapolis is creeping up too. So yeah, Jacksonville. This is a must win for both teams, actually. A must win. And again, it's got a little. That it is a little bit of a playoff atmosphere. It is kind of a playoff game. You're playing for the playoffs right now. You're playing for the playoffs right now. So, all right, Viper, where are you on this, Jacksonville or Pittsburgh?
Oh, this is a dangerously close game. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you got two teams where it really means something. I mean, that a lot of times, you know, a team will win just because it means more to them. And what's the spread on this? A point? A point and a half?
Spread is 2.5 points in Jacksonville's favor.
Yeah.
Which is a field goal, which is almost a pick'em.
You know, it's funny. Jacksonville seems to play better on the road, and it's a tough call. I'm going to go with Jacksonville, but I don't know. I just don't trust Kenny Pickett yet. I mean, and I know it's a team effort. It's not, you know, all on Kenny Pickett, but I just don't trust Kenny Pickett. I don't trust the Pittsburgh running game yet. If they get a consistent running game, Kenny Pickett can win it for them, but you know, I think Jacksonville knows that. I think Doug Peterson is smart. And I just think that Doug Peterson is going to be a difference in this game. He's smart enough to exploit the shortcomings of Pittsburgh's roster, and I think he's got the personnel to do it. I think Jacksonville squeaks this one out on the road.
Yeah. Seth, your pick is actually going to more than likely sway me.
Oh, no.
I don't mean to put any pressure on you, but who do you
have? No. I really know that this is going to be a highly contested game from moment one. Both teams, they know what's at stake. They're going to be competing at all. But here's the factor that I'm looking at compared to what has happened for the Steelers lately, and you're starting to see it reflect in their positive winning motions, is T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt is back on the scene. He's fully healthy, and he will find you, Trey Law. And when he finds you, you know, yeah, it's okay. Yes, I got the Steelers by 4. But, yeah, it's going to be a hard-fought game. But I think the Watt brother really brought this back in. He's Steeler Nation. The top.
You just heard me. Brother X in Pittsburgh, going pitch, really, really leaning pit. But I do understand where Viper's coming from with Jacksonville. Jacksonville should win this football game. Pubs, where are you on this?
I'm actually leaning towards the Steelers, and this is the only coin toss in my head about this game because it's close. It's like it's a great matchup. Honestly, yeah. I hope I can watch this game this weekend. In all honesty, like I hope it's televised like nationally because it's a big game. But I think I coin tossed it just because Steelers are at home. That was it. That was the only thing that I could come up with. But so I'll take that. I'll take the Steelers at home, Tomlin at home, like. The Deontay Johnson coming back is big for their offense. So him and Pickens, to me, are their 1A and 1B receivers. They're both, like, legitimate weapons. So I think Pickens gets his stuff together, and Pickett delivers 2 touchdowns to him. Steelers win.
Yeah, well, whoever wins, you're going to have to sing for your supper. You're going to have to earn this football game if you want to win it. No team, it's not going to be a blowout. Jacksonville, you're going to have to earn it. Pittsburgh, you're going to have to earn it. I'm going to go again. I got to go long shot. I got to catch up. So I'm going to go Pitt. All right, now this next game, this is not easy. I may have to go only with the home team like Doc does, but anyway, this is the Los Angeles Rams against Dallas Cowboys. And yeah, but the Rams really, even with Cooper Kupp coming back, have not really shown. I haven't been all that impressed yet. So is it going to work this week? We don't know, but they're in Dallas. Dallas is is hostile territory, even with Dak Prescott. So, Seth, what are the numbers on this?
The Los Angeles Rams are playing against the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys at home are giving away 6 points to the Rams, and the over-under is 45.5. So it's almost a touchdown.
Well, the way the Rams have been playing, coming back, they just look lackluster. They don't have any urgency. They don't have any drive. They just look, get off the Senka, go to regular coffee, you know? I mean, something. All right, Viper, what do we do with this?
Well, I agree with you guys. I mean, I don't like what I'm seeing out of the Rams, considering they're getting healthier. And, you know, I really can't pinpoint what the issue is. I mean, they're fundamentally, you got Aaron Donald in the middle creating havoc still. I think maybe Matt Stafford may not be getting enough protection, and that might be due to a lack in the running game. Although they let Cam Akers go, and he put up some pretty good numbers in Minnesota last week. I can't pinpoint what's wrong with the Rams. The question with the Cowboys is, are we going to get the Cowboys that got trounced against the 49ers, or are we going to get the Cowboys that actually beat people and can compete? And that's what we don't know. I think the Cowboys are favored for a reason in this one. I just think that there is a little too much question mark in the consistency of the Rams on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, with the Cowboys coming off the bye week, I'm actually going to go with Dallas, and it pains me to even do it.
Yeah, I think that's your smartest bet. Seth, what do you got on this?
Well, I think I'm not a betting person, but if I was going to bet on something, I would go on the over on this 45.5. Because, yes, this could be a defensive matchup because they're division rivals or whatever. I just think that they're both going to score a lot of points. I like the Rams on this for a lot of different reasons. And I think they're getting their chemistry back. And it's still the Cowboys, dude. They'll lose games out of nowhere that don't make sense. And I think this is one of them.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but, I mean, look, the Rams are going to have to do a complete 180. I mean, they're going to have to do something. I mean, I don't know.
They've been a lot better than you think in the last couple of weeks. Their team's getting healthier and healthier.
Well, Pittsburgh beat them last week.
Yeah, that was an embarrassment. But,
well, Seth, remember, I convinced you to take Pittsburgh. Aren't you glad you stuck with the Viper?
That's why I won last week.
Yeah, you were going to go with the Rams, and you didn't want to do it, and I convinced you.
Yeah, you been tied with Viper at 6 if you hadn't, if Viper hadn't convinced you. You would have been tied.
Yeah, that was like twisting my arm on one of my favorite teams. Okay, yeah, that was a hard pick.
You hadn't yet. What's up?
He said hello. You're on the only finish. You said hi.
You had me at terrible towel.
Correct,
so
Viper. Correct.
Pubs, you gonna go with your brother? You gonna go with the Rams? Or you gonna go with the smart money, Dallas?
I just think that Dallas's defense is going to shut it down. I'm going to take Dallas. I think Micah Parsons is the ultimate X factor in the NFL right now. And, like, you have to scheme for him. But then the stuff he opens up for other people, right? So I'm just taking Dallas in the defense this week. That's what I'm taking.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good game, though, I think. It may be close, you know, or maybe not. We'll find out. All right, the next game, Minnesota in Green Bay. Now, I know, Minnesota, you're coming off of that big win, San Francisco, which could
help.
Well,
that was a big win.
But you're playing against Green Bay. You should beat the crap out of them. Green Bay is awful. What are the numbers on this?
Minnesota Vikings are actually giving away 1.5 points against the Green Bay Packers at home at Lambeau, and the overall under is 42.
1.5? I think it would be...
The Scrota Vikings?
Yeah. Oh, Viper, that reminded me of 1988, dude. You know, it's like, it was a great year.
Well, Viper,
I'm surprised the spread's that low.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do you see this game being that close? I'm not so sure if I see it. Close. Minnesota definitely, I think, wins and beats the spread by, you know. What are we missing?
What, no love for Green Bay. No love for Green Bay. Get
no,
it?
No.
No love.
No love. No love.
No love for Green Bay. Okay.
No. I just don't. That team is getting almost worse than they are getting better this year. They seem to be going... I think they lost, I don't know. But Minnesota now seems to be actually kind of picking it up a little bit. And
yeah, they're starting to roll. They're starting to roll, for sure.
Well, some of those younger receivers that are stepping up in the place of Jefferson, I mean, that was the difference against the 49ers. That game was the young receivers really stepped up their game.
Oh, no. Did you watch that play where Addison – from Scrota took that interception out of Charlemagne's hands, and he ripped it out, and he ran all the way for a touchdown. I mean,
yep.
Oh, dude, did you ever reach video game mode? That's video game mode right there, dude. He totally reached video game mode.
That play won them the game, and that is the play that lost San Francisco the game. That play. Serious.
Now, Addison was a top prospect. If he would have came out 2 drafts ago, he would have been top 5, dude. He went to Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett, he went to Pittsburgh for 1 year. He won the Biletnikoff. And then he went to USC with Caleb Williams. But, yeah, anyway, the dude, he's really talented, really talented. But he's stepped up.
If he doesn't step up, that game doesn't end up the way it does. I mean,
he had 7 or 8 grabs, dude. 7 or 8 catches. Like, that was big.
Yep.
But then, just think of him developing, and then Jefferson coming back healthy, right? Then they've got some weapons. So
that's where, like with the Rams, now you got Nacua or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
Puka.
Come on, seriously, watch what happens, dude.
Right.
One receiver.
And what are the Green Bay Packers?
What have the Green Bay Packers shown us? Anything?
No.
Rebuild. That's what they've shown me.
Actually, ironically, when you guys are talking about the Packers rebuild, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre started off their careers as starting quarterbacks for the Packers 2-3. So did Jordan Love. Everybody, hold on. We might be seeing the same thing with this team.
I don't know about that one.
Jordan Love, starting record.
Yeah, well, that was different. Jordan Love just, I don't know, he just doesn't seem to have that X factor, I guess, that I'm looking at. But so anyway, Viper, you're going Minnesota?
I'm going Scrotum.
Scrotum, and Seth, I take it you're going Scrotum?
No, actually, 100% Green Bay.
Oh, wow. I like it.
You'll regret that.
I probably will.
You got the wrong cheese on top of your head, bro. I'm just telling you. You're going to regret that one.
Hey, look, the way Minnesota has been so inconsistent, I mean, it's not really out of the realm of possibility. I don't have enough to pull the hammer down on it, but Seth does, and good for him. And he did a couple of them. Seth, you know, when he goes against the grain, he generally wins.
Yep, I understand.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, okay, all right. Yeah, that was a little hyperbolic, but sometimes it went. But Pubs, you're going Minnesota, right?
Yes, I am, right? Because look, they are legitimately, they win another game. They're 500 for the year, right? They're 3-4 right now, so they'd be 4-4. And then, okay, the Lions, whatever they do this week, like, they could be gaining another game. You know, they have a lot to, like, their season's shaping up in front of them if they can go grasp it and take the reins of it, is what I see.
Yeah, but the NFC is so different than the AFC. NFC, you might make the playoffs being 9-8. AFC, you ain't doing this if you're 11-6. You're probably not. Totally different conferences.
Right, but Vikings and Packers are in the same conference. So I'm still taking the Vikings over the Packers.
This is agreeing upon my decision. It's easier to be a 500 mediocre team in the NFC and still make the playoffs. Yeah, both these teams could still make the playoffs. Yeah, neither team would make it in the AFC. Neither team.
Well, if Green Bay loses tomorrow, I don't see them getting into the playoffs. It's going to be very difficult. You're going to go down 2-5. That's going to be really
playoffs.
Well,
if you steal enough signs of the opposing team, it could happen.
Yeah. You deflate the footballs, get Belichick video cameras. Yeah, you can win a game or two, sure. But, all right, the next game, New England in Miami. I know, New England, you had a good win last week. I don't think New England is back. And you're playing in Miami. Miami's coming off a loss. They're looking for retribution. They're looking for revenge. They're looking to kick some butt. And New England is going to get spanked. What are the numbers on this, Seth? New England in Miami.
The New England Patriots are playing against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are giving away 9.5 points to the Patriots. And the over-under is 47.
All right. Well, Viper, I mean, yeah, the Patriots, they showed a little bit of life in this and that, but I'm not convinced that they're back. I mean, New England, I think they might show up, and I, they could come close to beating that spread. What was it, 8.5?
9.5.
9.5. Yeah. Huh. All right, Viper.
Well, here's the problem with this game is, I mean, it's a good sign for the Patriots what they did last week. That was a win that, I didn't see coming, that was a little bit of a shocker. So no question about that. And just it shows, once again, Bill Belichick can't put together a game plan and beat people. And that is number 300, by the way. If he didn't mention it before the show. But Miami's point production when they're at home is absolutely insane. They're averaging almost 30 points a game at home. So were this in Boston, I might tend to lean toward the Patriots win. Just being down in Miami, I think there's too many things they like to do when they're at home, and even when the Patriots were good, Miami seems to give the Patriots problems when they're in Miami. So
yep.
I'm going to go with Miami in this one. I think they even cover the spread.
Yeah, well, I mean, in order for
10 points is a lot of points, too.
Right, but in order for New England to really seriously beat Miami, you're going to need Tua, you're going to need Hill, you're going to need the front line, you're going to need everybody injured, and that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I think Miami beats that spread 9.5. Seth, what do you got on this?
I just have to, once again, go to last week's game and watch what is happening. And I really do think this could have been a pre-Super Bowl game. It could be the Philadelphia Eagles against the Miami Dolphins. I know people are going to say, hey, whatever, but this could have been a reality. We could really have seen it. And when Tyreek Hill, they were down 17-10, and he came in there right about the 8-5-yard line, had contact with the ball. And this guy is so good. He's so fast. It bounced off him, and he almost still caught it. And because he didn't catch it, that's why they lost to Philly. And that was on the road. So their only two losses are at Philly and Buffalo.
Yeah.
And on top of it, they scored at least 17 points each time, which means you better be a good team when you beat them. And let's not even talk about their hometown gap. You look at how Miami plays at home, no one can beat them. No one. It's not even mathematically possible. So,
well, it's a perfect rebound game. Yeah.
I'm going with Miami, and I know it says 9.5, but I think it's going to be like 45-7. It's going to be a embarrassment. And they're going to do it on purpose against the Dolphins, Patriots, with Belichick, just to let them know. They will do this. And Mike McDaniels will probably applaud it. Yeah.
Dude, that's I was going to say, I applaud him. I applaud that coach. Like, you know what I'm saying? He is his own person. His interviews are epic. I love just listening to that dude talk for, like, you know, a 40-second clip. It's great. It's so funny. He's so entertaining, but it's good for the league, right?
Oh, no. Great. Mike McDaniels, actually, if people don't know his history of the league, I mean, you were at one point a ball boy.
For the Denver Broncos in their championship years, I think, or maybe a little after.
How cool
yeah, it's great.
That? No, you went from a ball boy to an NFL head coach that defeats Bill Belichick.
Right.
And you let your
the
coffee.
The hoodie.
Your macchiato.
The hoodie.
So we're kind of we're running a little late. Pubs, I take it you're taking Miami, right?
Correct, sir. I think there's three or four picks every week that are just certain, like you just see them, like call it. Like there's no overthinking, right? Just taking the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They should win this one.
It's a perfect rebound game in New England. Look out. All right, the next game, New Orleans in Indianapolis. I did really appreciate the way Indianapolis played last week against Cleveland. They did beat Cleveland. The referees took it away from them. I think New Orleans, yeah, you've got a respectable. I think they both have the same record. And New Orleans is not, you know, better than I thought they were going to be. Indianapolis, whatever. They're the same record, 3-4. So what are the numbers on this? Brother X win a tie. We talk about this game for over an hour. I mean, it could really go. Whoever wants to win is going to win. But I went Indianapolis only because they're home. So what are the numbers on this? So real quick.
The New Orleans Saints, the Aints, are playing against the Indianapolis Colts. This, when we say it, is a true pick'em. This is a pick. And
yep.
The over-under is 43.5.
Yep, I think we're going to see a really, really good, we're going to see a good football game. And, yeah, Brother X won a tie. I don't know if I have enough to go on a tie on this, but Viper, what's your stance on this game?
I mean, it's not a game I really want to watch, unfortunately, because of my location. I'll probably be forced to watch it. Oh, boy. Obviously, it was a one-point spread?
I thought it was a pick'em.
Yeah, that's a pick'em game. I mean, you got two teams that are struggling, clearly. The Saints are used to playing close games. Colts have lost a few close ones. It's just a question whether the Colts, in my opinion, are going to hemorrhage more turnovers than they create. I mean, they've gotten a turnover in their last – the defense has created a turnover in the last four or five games. So the defense is doing its job creating opportunities. But the offense, you know, I'm not saying it's all Minshew's fault, but – you know, it's inconsistent. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor needs to get on track for them. And Zach Moss has been a great third down back and catching balls out of the backfield, and he's dangerous. I don't trust Minshew. It's an indoor game, so I think, you know, that means it's like a wash for the Saints. I'm going to go with the Saints. I just think they're playing a little bit cleaner than Indianapolis is right now. And I think it's going to be a difference in turnovers in this game. And I think the Colts have been hemorrhaging too many for my comfort.
I like what you said on that, Viper. And Minshew, I mean, he just makes you know, as Yogi Berra said, you know, wrong mistakes, meaning you made a mistake at the wrong time, and that's kind of costly. But he's doing better than I thought he was going to do. But I really was impressed the way Indianapolis played last week, so I'm going to have to stick with him. Seth, what do you got on that?
What was the game that we were talking about?
New Orleans and Indy.
Oh, yeah. No, I got Indy all day long. This team is way better than anybody realizes in the AFC. They have gotten screwed a lot of times in close games at the end. And that New Orleans team has gotten freaky fluky with Derek Carr. They're not a solid team. They're not a good team. They're an okay team. Yeah, I got Indy on this all day long without even thinking about it.
Yeah, I lost a lot of love and feeling for Carr. I mean, I've been trying him and Garoppolo both. I've been trying. I've been giving him the benefit of the doubt. I just can't do it no more. Done. All right, Pubs, real quick, what do you got on this?
I honestly see it a little differently. I am looking at the Chris Olave story, and he's been through some ups and downs the last couple of weeks. But I'm telling you, I watched one game in his collegiate career, and he made a catch that I was like, that guy is he's ridiculous. So anyway, I think he goes big, Saints win.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I mean, if you like both of these teams, it's going to be a good football game. If, like, Viper is not his area, it's why do I have to watch this? And it's the only game on TV. So.
Oh, no, no. Hey, Skeet, don't say it that way because you know in your New York market, you're sometimes
yeah,
only watching
the Jets and the Giants.
In NFL week, and you are like, this is the worst football to watch, regardless, even if you're a Jets or a Giants fan. Trust me.
Thank God I've got the red zone.
I've liked this crap. It's total garbage. Garbage.
I know, total garbage, but thank God for the red zone.
No, you get blacked out on everything. You get blacked out on every other game. It doesn't matter. Oh, no, the Giants are playing. Oh, no, the Jets are playing. And that's it. And they
well,
will stick with it until the game's 55-3. And then they'll change it the last 2 minutes. Yeah.
Speaking of Jets and Giants, this is the next game. This is the New York Jets against the New York Giants.
Oh, no. This is probably the greatest lead-in to a thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it was seamless. It was seamless. Perfect.
The New York Jets, the Jets, are -3. Against the New York Giants, the G-Men. And the over-under is 36.5 because it's going to be a high-scoring game, according to Vegas.
At 36.5?
Yeah.
It's not that
it's
high.
18-18.5.
No, yeah. The lowest total point in the league this week.
Yeah.
By Vegas. So, just saying.
I see the Jets. I see them taking over the Giants. I wouldn't say easily, but I think at the end of the game, I think the Jets are going to be decidedly the victor. Viper, where are you on this?
Oh, I'm going hammer down on the Jets. I think that their defense is just – really, really solid. And Zach Wilson's getting better. Breece Hall's running the ball very effectively, even to the tune that Dalvin Cook's getting a little upset because he's not getting – I read this week. He's not getting the touches he's used to in Minnesota. So, you know, that tells you how good Breece Hall's been for them. Wilson to Wilson starting to click. I don't think they need Zach Wilson to win this game. I think they've got the defense to win it all by themselves. And all they have to do is have Zach Wilson not screw up. I don't think the Giants' defense is going to give Wilson much problems. So, to me, it's a no-brainer. I just think the Jets are a better football team.
Yeah, and Dan Jones, he's out with his neck. They've got, what the heck is his name? In the league for a number of years, Tyrod Taylor. Looks like he's going to get the start.
And that's probably good news, just like Tyler Bagent for the Bears.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite stories of the NFL this year, is the Tyler Bagent story, right? So he's Division II or III, comes in and wins a spot
Shepherd.
On a 53-man roster. Just ridiculous. And now he's starting.
Shepherd
like,
out of West Virginia, yeah.
Yeah. He's moving the offense, though, right? It's like he's not just going out there and failing horribly. Like, he's at least fun to watch. I love that story.
And it looks like Saquon Barkley, he's in, but, yeah. Seth, are you J-E-T-S? Or?
Well, I am with the J-E-T-S, Jets, because, are you serious? The G-Man just scored two offensive touchdowns in one game, and that was their first offensive touchdown in more than four-plus weeks. And then you're talking about the Jets' defense, this, that. You're talking about an even-score team that you did all this for, Aaron Rodgers, blah, blah. Yeah, this is a blowout. And I hope the Jets blow out the G-Men.
Well, like I said, at the end of the game, Jets will be most decidedly the victor. Pubs, you going Jets too?
Yeah, I have to. Like I said, there's three or four games every week that's Jets defense overtakes the patchwork Giants offense. So Jets. Yep.
Yeah, the poor Giants, they're a mess. They're just a mess. All right, this one should be kind of a no-brainer. However, I do see Washington. This is Philadelphia in Washington. I do see Washington kind of huffing and puffing, but again, at the end of the game, Philadelphia will be most decidedly, again, the victor. What are the numbers on this, Philly and Washington?
The Philadelphia Eagles are actually giving away 7 points to the hometown Washington football team, and the over-under is 43.5.
Yeah. I don't know if there's too much talk really to be done. Viper, I mean, if Washington were to beat Philly, is there an avenue where they could?
Yeah. Jalen Hurts would go down.
Yeah.
But I don't see much beyond that. I mean,
Blackhawk goes down.
You know, I mean, even then, I mean, the Eagles defense, I mean, hell, if the Giants can hold the Commanders to 7 points, with the Eagles defense alone probably score a touchdown win. I mean,
yeah.
I don't see any way.
Really?
I don't see it. I'm surprised the spread isn't bigger.
Right, exactly. It was what, 7 points?
I'm surprised it's not bigger.
Seven? It was seven. Yeah,
no, and the crazy thing is that most people don't realize how competitive the NFC East has been for years. The Eagles and the Redskins, the Commanders hate each other. Like, you can't believe. Like, you can't believe how much they hate each other. That it doesn't matter what their team is doing or this that. Now, if Washington wins this game and 99 people out of 100 said the other team was going to win, I would believe them. I'd believe them too. But this is that type of game that maybe they do it. But to tell you the truth, right now, I have a really good Washington fan on my kettle, and he doesn't believe in anything that he's doing right now. So, therefore, I don't either, and I'm going against Washington. I'm going with Philly all the on. It's going to be a blowout. It's going to be an embarrassment.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
It is a division game, so any kind of craziness can happen. But, again, reality says Philly is going to spank them. But then again, you know, this is the NFL. Anything can happen. But there's no way you could bet the farm on Washington. You cannot do that. No. You may be able to put a 10 spot down in Vegas because you got a bunch of extra money in your pocket, but you can't bet the farm. You can't do it. So,
And I think a lot of people root for this Washington team. We saw a lot of things throughout the years. We kind of root. They're kind of an underdog team that you root for. This game,
I would love to see Washington beat them.
It's going to be an embarrassment. It's not going to be what you think at all.
Look, if Washington beats Philly, which I would love to see it, and I don't mind losing that pick if Washington does beat them, but there's no way I can pull the hammer down. Pubs, can you pull the hammer down? Go Washington.
The only reason I would, if I was going to do that, is just because of the season, the time of the year it is, and the Washington National Football Team have a dude named Scary Terry McLaurin, dude. That's the only thing. If him and Howell can, like, just launch the deep balls, that would be the only reason. But I still can't pull the trigger. I still have to go to Eagles.
And even though they're playing in Washington, and look, it has a perfect – this is the perfect recipe for an upset. It is perfect for it, but you can't do it.
If you're a betting person, you can't. You cannot just be like, yeah.
No, Skeet said it. Well, if you're a betting person, it's like a recipe or something. No, it's not that. It's obviously not the perfect storm. So at that point, you've got to go with Philly. Because otherwise, if it was the perfect storm with Mark Wahlberg, would he be going with Washington all day long?
Well, I'm just going by the last couple of weeks in the NFL is what I'm going by. But I still can't do it. Still can't do it. Now watch. Washington goes out there and just spanks him.
I know. We talked this all up. Yeah, expert.
Yeah, you watch it. All right, this next game, this one's going to be a good game. This is Cleveland in Seattle. I think it's a pretty good matchup. I did not like the way Cleveland played last week. Maybe they were hungover. Well, they got to go into Seattle. Seattle is not really hostile territory anymore. The 12s are too woke to show up. It's horrible. It's not the same anymore. But Seattle has got a lot of offensive weapons, and they do have Witherspoon as their defense. And anyway, I got to go Seattle because I'm a homeboy. But what are the numbers on this, Seth? Cleveland and Seattle. I think Seattle's favorite.
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns are playing against the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are giving away 3.5 points to the Cleveland Browns. And the over-under is 38.
Well, Viper, I want to ask you, I don't know if you got a chance to see too much of the Cleveland Indy game last week, but I'm
wondering. It's about the only game I got to see.
Okay, well, I want to get your take on this because, you know, I'm not an expert by any stretch. But is Cleveland's defense, are they kind of, I wouldn't say slipping, but they definitely missed a step last week. They won the game only because of the referees. I don't think they won it by their defense last week. And this is kind of a good matchup against Seattle. What do you got on this?
I mean, it's definitely going to be competitive. It's in Seattle. You know, obviously the Seahawks play better at home. But, you know, for me, I mean, the Cleveland pass rush for me is a difference maker in this game. And Geno Smith does not deal with a good pass rush. He just doesn't. You know, when you truncate his timetable to make a decision – it's usually going to go in the defense's favor. And I think that's what the element that Cleveland brings in this game that is going to be very problematic for the Seattle offense. I mean, you can almost guarantee there's going to be one turnover, be it a fumble, be it an interception. The Cleveland defense is going to create at least one of those. But the thing that concerns me about this game is you know, is it going to be P.J. a quarterback or Deshaun Watson a quarterback? I think Watson came back from the shoulder injury too soon. P.J. Walker went in and did a hell of a job. I mean, we can all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Watson is out. He is not playing.
Yeah, Walker's in.
All right. So, yeah, you've got a guy that stepped in under pressure and delivered when he had to. Ford's running the ball well. Rush is running the ball well. The combination of Ford and Rush has not quite offset the Nick Chubb factor, but it certainly has been a good substitute teacher for it. And
they're second in rushing. I said they're second in rushing offense.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, you can't perfectly replace Nick Chubb, but they managed to fill the hole in the aggregate with Rush and Ford. So, you know.
Yeah, and they brought Kareem Hunt back, too. They brought Kareem Hunt back. And he's chipped in.
I'm sorry.
He's chipped
Kareem
in.
Kareem Hunt, yeah, my fault. Yeah, so with the combination of Hunt
Ford
and Ford.
He's been great.
Yeah, he has. So, no, I think with Walker in, I feel a lot better about it. I think the Cleveland defense is going to really frustrate Geno Smith. He's not going to have a lot of time to get the ball out, and that usually works to the defense's favor. And I think Cleveland goes in and shocks another team. Their defense is legit, and that gives them a chance in literally every game they play. I think they go in and squeak this one out.
Well, this is what I don't want to see, and I think I am going to see. And I predicted it the first time I saw it last week. Geno Smith, I think, is going to be on his butt all afternoon. He's going to have a bad day. If Cleveland's defense shows up, Geno's not going to have the opportunity to throw the ball to Lockett or Metcalf. Maybe Walker might be able to, you know, get the ball and get a few yards. But as far as passing, you know, down the field, defense is number one. Cleveland is number one in passing defensive. And they're seventh, you know, in the rush. So, yeah, you're going Cleveland. That's a great pick. Seth, where are you on this?
This really hurts me because a lot of people don't understand the AFC North and every team that's involved. This Cleveland defense is way better than what you think. It really is. Now you're taking advantage of a guy that, as a quarterback, is not a risk taker. He just minimizes, you know, fumbles and interceptions. Well, yeah, you're done. You're done, and they're going to come after you like you've never seen in a long time. They're probably going to have four sacks. So I'm going with Cleveland.
Yeah. Hubs, where are you on this?
I think I'm on the Cleveland train also. It's like the NFL doesn't like to promote it, but defense does win championships and, like, gets you to the playoffs and stuff. And you can disrupt, right? You can just totally disrupt everything going on. But everybody else, dude, you got a great defense. Yeah. I'm taking Cleveland with their defense for the win.
Yeah, well, if Cleveland plays like they did last week against Indy, and if Seattle plays like they're supposed to play, Seattle has a chance. I'm going Seattle again, another long shot, because I need to catch up. But, no, it's going to be a good game. I think it is going to be a good game. Smart money is most definitely Cleveland. That defense, maybe they just had a bad week. It happens. It happens.
It's an intriguing matchup at the very least. It's very intriguing.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Seattle likes to, as of late, as of the last few years, they like to lose at home. They just, like, love it. They hate it.
I'm not the least bit intrigued. I'll be honest with you. I'm not the least bit intrigued.
No.
I don't want to watch this game.
I don't know.
Well,
I think.
Thankfully, I don't live in Seattle or Cleveland. I don't want to watch this game.
I lived in Cleveland. You know, my saving grace when I lived in Cleveland, it was the only like 1.5, 2 years they didn't have a team, but it was like football, right? So at least I got reprieve from that.
Well, at least Cleveland does good Chinese food. That's one good thing. I found
When were you in Cleveland, Pubs?
Let's see. For the fiscal years of 94, June, and I got out of there right when I graduated in May, 95.
Gotcha.
That's when I was there.
I was in
Akron,
2015.
I did it a year.
Well, I was there during the baseball strike, and they just built their new stadium.
Correct.
And
correct.
Driving over there,
yeah.
And yeah. But Cleveland is a pit. It's a horrible. It stinks. It's like New Jersey.
I lived in the suburbs, like 19 miles outside of it. But what you say is Cleveland, right? So if you grow
it's
up
like
in
Gary, Indiana, a little bit.
You tell people Kalamazoo, right? If you grow up in Schoolcraft, you tell them Kalamazoo.
All right. We do got to get moving. We've got 10 minutes, and we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks. Okay,
yes,
we're going to run a marathon.
Turbo picks. Turbo picks engaged.
Turbo picks.
Lightning round.
Yeah. Baltimore and Arizona, real quick. What are the numbers, Seth?
The Baltimore Ravens are 9.5 favorites at Arizona Cardinals.
The AZ Cardinals, 44.5.
Yep, I'm going Baltimore. Brother X went Baltimore. Viper.
Ravens.
Yep. Seth.
Nevermore.
Yeah, you got to go Ravens at this point. If AZ wins, I wouldn't be surprised, but no, I'm going Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't see it. Pubs.
No letdown for Baltimore. They win.
Yeah. Yeah. Arizona, don't even show up. And you're at home.
Yeah.
Cincinnati in San Francisco. Could Cincinnati come back? San Francisco can't go losing three games in a row. We don't know. It could be a fun game, but real quick, Seth, what are the numbers on the Cincinnati in San Francisco?
The Cincinnati Bengals are playing against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are giving away 4 points to the Bengals, and the over-under is 43.5.
They're giving away 44 points or 4 points?
No, 4.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you. Yeah. Yeah. I got to go San Francisco. Brother X went Frisco. Viper.
Oh, boy. This game's tough. I'm going to go 49ers, but I'm not confident with it.
Well, look, that's the thing. Cincinnati, did they figure it out? And in San Francisco, are they really more injured than what, you know, what they're saying could be? And all it takes is one more to go down, and Cincinnati could take advantage. Cincinnati could win this game. But it's the unknowns that you don't know, and you can't bet on the unknowns. So, Seth, where are you? San Francisco? Cincinnati?
Actually, on this game, the only reason I would pick this team over the other team, I don't even care about the 4 points, is it's at home. If it was at Cincinnati, I would say they would probably win. But they're not.
Uh-huh.
So I got San Francisco.
Yeah, but I think Cincinnati is definitely going to stay in the game, and that 4 points, I think that's pretty close.
Yep.
I think it's pretty close.
Oh, no. It's going to be a great game. And if Cincinnati wins by 4, 7, 11, whatever it is, they earned it. You know what I mean? Like, and if they beat San Francisco at home, then you better fear them this year as well.
That is a huge monster win that will propel them. Oh, yeah, that's a big, 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 big jump. Pubs, real quick, Cincinnati or Frisco?
I'm going to go a straight Joey B story, like going into Frisco and getting the big win. I'm not saying it's going to be his quintessential game, but I'm saying he's going to have a monster. So I'm going against the grain. And I'm taking the Bengals.
I like it. I wish I had enough to do it. Otherwise, I would do it. I've already done enough crazy
picks. I like
but
it, though.
I
freewheeling.
Like
freewheeling. Just letting her rip.
Hey, look, Cincinnati very well end up winning. Now, the next one, this is Kansas City in Denver. What are the ridiculous numbers on this, Seth?
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs are giving away 7 points to Denver Broncos in Mile High with 47 over under.
Yeah. Let me just start out this way. Is anybody foolish enough to pick Denver?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Got it.
No.
you just can't.
The fact that the game is only -7 really appalls me. Like, I'm shocked right now. I'm literally shocked. Like,
oh, they'll beat them by double digits at least. At least.
Yeah, but it's only 7.
Well,
that's abhorrent. That's abhorrent.
You know, and as much as I, you know, really lost everything for Russell Wilson, you know, it's kind of hard to bench him right now, even though everybody wants to bench him. I mean, but again, he's making the bad mistakes at the wrong time. And, but he does got actually pretty good numbers, but Denver is just an awful, 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 awful team. They just can't get nothing going. Nothing. They can't get nothing going. So, yeah, Kansas City comes into Denver for an easy win. Next game, Chicago in Los Angeles Chargers. Seth, what are the numbers?
The Chicago Bears are playing against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are giving away 8.5 points. And the over-under is 46.5.
Yeah, see, when I talked to Brother X, I was like, why are the Chargers 8.5 and Kansas City is only 7? That seems a little weird to me. Unless maybe, I don't know.
Because the Bears are that bad.
That's a great point, though. That's a great why question. It really is.
I mean, the Chargers really are... Yeah, you should be a lot better than what you are, but you're not. You're just not. How they got, you know, 2 wins is mind-boggling.
Oh, and, no. Most people wouldn't realize that Justin Herbert, after I think about 4 seasons, he's a .500 quarterback. You wouldn't think that either.
He's
also on his second. He's on his second regime too. Like this is the second set of head coaches or whatever, and different coaches. So
well,
it hasn't worked twice. But look
no,
for Ben Johnson to go there
really
and unlock that.
If
you look at the greatest quarterbacks in the Chargers history, you really have to say Dan Fouts. And he went to playoffs X amount of years for a certain period of time. Then Philip Rivers. And now you're Justin Herbert. And you can get there every once in a while, and you'll never do anything, right?
Well, I think Herbert is kind of like Wild Thing in Major League. I think they need to get him some glasses. He's throwing the ball wrong places. I think his eyeballs are screwed up. Something ain't right.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
Right. Max the mascot. Crutch.
We're all going Chargers, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Real quick, we got about 90 seconds. This is Detroit, Vegas in Detroit. This is the Monday night game. Real quick, Seth, what are the numbers?
Oh, I don't have that.
All right,
no, but I'm a Raiders fan, and I will tell you right now, off the top of my head, F that, and the lie downs are going to crush them, because this is ridiculous.
7.5 points
is the team I've seen in 10 years. 10 years. Bad. Horrible.
Yeah, I know Jimmy G, they brought him back, but he's not doing anything.
Jimmy,
He's out.
What the F? What was that?
So it's Aiden O'Connell or Brian Hoyer, right? Take your pick.
He was
Big Ten. He was at Big Ten, right?
Brian. Yeah, dude, yeah.
No, Garoppolo is playing. He's starting.
He's going?
Yeah, who cares?
I wish he was out there.
Right. Even better. Even better.
It would really matter if he's starting or not. They're not going to beat the Lions. It's just not going to happen. So I take it everybody, we're going Detroit as well, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to Detroit for sure.
Pay for the Raiders, dude.
They're mad. Okay. They're pissed off.
I just got a quick We got 30 seconds, and I want to thank everybody. We have people in the chat room. Thank you very much. I want to thank Viper. I want to thank Pubs. And I want to thank Pep. And, of course, Doc. He's not listening, but I want to thank him. And I want to thank all of you that do listen into Archive. Thank you very much, and we will see you back here next week, Saturday night, 6 p.m. Goodbye, everybody. Bye. You feel that?